بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على سيدنا ونبينا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد
اللهم صل على محمد
وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين لا سيما بقية الله في الأرضين أجل الله تعالى فرجه الشريف وجعلنا من أعوانه وأنصاره اللهم أخرجني من ظلمات البعد وأكرمني بنور الفهم اللهم افتح علينا أبواب رحمتك وانشر علينا خزائن علومك برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين Trusting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and asking for his guidance and assistance, we start our series on the commentary of the late Fadil Miqdad on a text by Allama Hilli, which is known as Babul Hadi Ashar. So they say Sharh Bab Hadi Ashar is the commentary on Bab Hadi Ashar. This book is by Allama Hilli. Before I talk about the book and about the subject, we need to know about Allama Hilli. Allama Hilli is one of our great ulama, and he has great right over us. He has served the Muslim community, and in a special way, the followers of Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salam, in a special way. His full name is Hasan ibn Yusuf ibn Mutahhar. Abu Mansur is his nickname, kunya, Jamaluddin Hasan ibn Yusuf ibn Mutahhar. And because he's from the city of Hilla, he's called Hilli. We have many ulama from the city of Hilla, like Muhaqqiq Hilli, Ibn Idris Hilli, and so on. So, he was born in the night of Jum'ah, 29th of Ramadan, the year 648 Qamari, Hijri Qamari. 648. So in the month of Ramadan, in the night of Jum'ah, and in the city of Hilla, his father was from a religious family, very pious. His mother was related to Muhaqqiq Hilli, rahmatullah alayh. When he was very young, he started going to maktab. You know, at that time, they had maktab. There was no like a school. You know, like today, there were places for learning Arabic, Quran, poem. So when he was very young, he went to maktab, learning how to read and write. And then he went to the ustad who was called Muharram. His name was Muharram. To learn calligraphy. Then he started learning Arabic, Saf, Nah, Fiqh, Usul, Hadith, Kalam with his father, and then with his uncle, who was Alim, Muhaqqiq Hilli, and then with Khaja Nasiruddin Tusi, Rahmatullah Alayh, he learned philosophy, logic, astronomy, and it is said that he managed to become mujtahid before becoming baligh. So before becoming 15, he was mujtahid. So this is how genius he was. And when Muhaqqiq Hilli, who was his uncle, passed away in 676, the Shia were in need of a marja. His uncle, Muhaqqiq Hilli, was the marja for Shia. he passed away in 676. At that time, the scholars, the ulama of Hilleh, recommended to people to follow Allama Hilli. So he became marja when he was 28 years old. He had great reputation, and one of the kings, you know, Mongol kings who lived in his time, Sultan Muhammad Khudabande Uljaitu, he had an issue about divorce. He had, you know, divorced his wife three times in the one majlis. Okay? And then he regretted. He was angry. So he divorced his wife three times. He asked Sunni scholars, and they said the only solution if you want to get married again is that she should marry another person, Muhallil, and then that person divorces her, then you can marry her again. And this was not possible for the king to see his wife marrying to someone else. And this is a punishment for people who divorce, you know, their wives, you know. So he asked, is there any a scholar in Islam from different mazahib that has another view? They said, no. All scholars have this view, except there is someone in Hilleh that he is not belonging to the four mazahib of Ahl Sunnat, and he has different view. There is a story, I don't mention the story. If you want the story later, maybe after class I can mention the story. So anyway, he went to the king and he explained that that divorce was not valid because there was no presence of two just witnesses. The king and his wife were alone. So he said the divorce is void. The king was very happy and gradually became very much interested in the logic of the Allama, in the knowledge of Allama, wisdom of Allama. So he used to ask Allama that wherever I go, you have to be with me. So Allama with his students had to go with the king. You know, when the king is traveling, Allama also goes with, because Allama didn't want to leave his students and his, you know, classes. So he was going around. So some of his books he wrote when he was traveling. Rahmatullah. The king became Shia, and tried to reduce the pressure on the Shia, tried to remove some of the, you know, practices which used to be before, but he faced some difficulty. Anyway, that's another story. So, Allama Hilli was such an influential person, and he compiled many books on different subjects. Another book that inshallah you study here, Tabsira, Tabsiratul Muta'allimin, is a summary of fiqh that, if I'm not mistaken, he wrote it when he was traveling. So the entire fiqh, he wrote it, and at that time they didn't have, you know, CDs and laptops, you know, to take all the books with them. This man was so much, you know, aware of fiqh and, you know, all the resources that when he was traveling, he was able to read, to write the entire fiqh. Tabsiratun. He has many, many books on different subjects. One of his books is a kind of summary that he did of the book by Shaykh Tusi, rahmatullah alayhi. Shaykh Tusi had a book on dua in Mafati. You see many times he says, from Misbah, Misbahul Mutahajjid. Mutahajjid means the one who does Salatul Layl. Misbahul Mutahajjid. It's a very thick book on du'as. Okay? So before Mafati, people used to use Iqbal by Sayyid ibn Tawus or Misbahul Mutahajjid and other books. Now we rely on Mafati, but those were early books. So Allama Hilli Rahmatullah alayhi summarized and somehow, you know, tried to organize Misbahul Mutahajjid by whom? Shaykh Tusi. He organized it in 10 sections. Okay? Then Allama Hilli thought, I should also add one section to this book. Because people want to do dua, they want to pray to God, they want to call God. So they should have proper aqidah and understanding of God. So he added the 11th section, Al-Babul Hadi Ashar. Bab means section, Hadi Ashar means 11. Now, we may not know about those 10 sections, but everyone knows about this 11th section. Okay? In which he wrote a summary of aqa'id. Allama Hilli also has commentary on Tajreedul I'tiqad. Tajreedul I'tiqad is kalam, very important kalam book by Khaja Nasiruddin Tusi, and Allama Hilli has a commentary which is known as Kashful Murad.
So, what's the name of that book which he wrote for the
Misbahul Mutahajjid is the book by Shaykh Tusi. So, he wrote a book as a summary for Misbah.
What did he name it?
The exact, I have it here. Unfortunately, my iPad went off, but I have it somewhere here also. مختصر منهاج الصلاح في مختصر المصباح. مختصر منهاج الصلاح في مختصر المصباح. مصباح is the مصباح المتحجد by Shaykh Tusi.
Yeah.
So he summarized and organized it in another book which is called مختصر منهاج الصلاة في مختصر المصباح in 10 sections, but then he added the 11th section. So as I said, he has also a commentary himself on Kalam by Khaja Nasir. Khaja Nasir in intellectual sciences was his teacher. But in fiqh, he was the teacher of Khaja Nasir. So, Khaja Nasir wrote Tajreedul I'tiqad, which is very, very important text on Kalam. Many Sunni Shia have made commentary on Tajreedul I'tiqad. Maybe tens of commentaries. It's masterpiece. A commentary which is used in the Shia seminaries is Kashful Murad, which is by Allama Hilli. Now in Message of Saqalain, we are publishing the English translation of the section on Imamah in Message of Saqalain. So, Allama Hilli here has produced the text, not the commentary. Then, Fazil Miqdad, Rahmatullah Alayh, made the commentary, and inshallah we will read his introduction. He made commentary on the 11th section of the book by Allama Hilli. Fazil Miqdad died in 826, exactly 100 years after Allama Hilli died. Okay? So, Now you have an idea about the book, about the commentary. It has about 20 commentaries. We studied the one which is by Faisal al-Miqdad, which is very famous, is a textbook in the house. This is about the book and about the author, a little bit about the subject. Muslim scholars, when they were faced with questions about aqa'id, whether the questions which were naturally raised because they were reflecting more on the Quran and Hadith, or the questions which were raised because they were reading and translating Greek texts about philosophy, you know, Persian texts about, you know, philosophy and, you know, mysticism. So they were faced with many questions, and these questions then had to be tackled Islamically. So they developed the science of kalam. Why it is called kalam, there are different views. Some people say it is called kalam because one of the very early questions was about kalam or word of God. Kalamullah. Whether word of God is eternal or it is created. Mm-hmm. Is qadim or hadis. Mm-hmm. So that was one of the very, you know, heated topics. Kalam. Some people say it is called kalam because they used to say kalamuna fi kada wa kada. Kalamuna fi means our view about this and that issue. So there are different reasons why it has been called kalam. But anyway, kalam is word, means a speech. So the science of aqa'id was known as the science of kalam. And some people also call it usul al-din. Some people call it just usul. Some people call it ilm tawheed. You know, if you look at some, especially our Sunni brothers' books, they call it ilm tawheed, which means ilm al-aqaid. This is not exactly equivalent to theology, because in Christianity, theology is not just aqaid. For them, theology is almost everything. You know, it includes akhlaq, for example. Okay? But for us, akhlaq is a different discipline. They have natural theology, and natural theology is mostly about the way to prove religious ideas rationally. So the science of kalam in the early centuries was somehow competing philosophy. We had some people, of course, who were against kalam and philosophy and mantiq. Like, you know, some Ahl Hadith in those days, they were against logic, philosophy, even against kalam. But then there were some people who were happy with kalam, but they were against philosophy. They used to say philosophy is foreign, you know, element. It's not Islamic. It has come from, you know, Greece, from other places. And they were especially unhappy with some of the ideas of philosophers. You might have heard about Tahafut al-Falasifa by Ghazali. Ghazali was against philosophy. He has two books in this regard. One is called Maqasid al-Falasifa, which he teaches, or, you know, explains the ideas of philosophers. Then he has Tahafut al-Falasifa, Contradictions of Philosophers. Actually, his book Maqasid al-Falasifa is a good book to study philosophy. So his knowledge was good. But he was not able to understand the way philosophers respond. But he had reasonable understanding of philosophy. So tahafut al-falasifa is about contradictions of philosophers. So many times philosophers and mutakallimin, al-falasifa and mutakallimin as we call them, had confrontation in the Sunni world. Especially in the Sunni world, they had confrontation. In the Shia world, it was not that much conflict. But when Khaja Nasiruddin Tusi rahmatullah alayhi, who was a kind of, I can say, authority in philosophy, and at the same time Kalam, managed to write Tajridul I'tiqad, he brought Kalam and philosophy together and reconciled between two. After Khaja Nasir, Kalam and philosophy are two brothers, at least for us. We don't have any conflict after that. So, today when we say aqa'id, indeed it is kalam and philosophy together. So many times you see we use philosophical arguments. But in the past it was not like that. The way they argue, even sometimes their positions were different. For example, mutakallimun were believing that alam is hadith. Philosophers had the idea that alam is qadim, eternal. No, there were conflicts. So, we thought that it is good for several reasons to study Bab Hadi Ash. One is because we want to, inshallah, have deeper understanding of aqaid. Alhamdulillah, you have had already theological instruction, so this is the second level. We can go to a deeper level. But also we want to study a classic text which for centuries has been used in the seminaries, and now even in some universities in Iran, they use this. And thirdly, we want to also have a practice on academic reading in Arabic, so that you can, inshallah, learn how to read Arabic text. And if you can understand these texts, then inshallah you can understand also Quran and Hadith and other sources. So we have many different aims. Maybe in the early weeks you find it difficult because the text, the style are new. But inshallah it will be all right. I want to also ask you to recite Fatiha for Allama Halli and Fazil al-Miqdad and our ulama and my teacher who taught me Bab Hadi Ash when I was 17. Before going to Hawza, I studied Bab Hadi Ash in Tehran, not knowing that one day I'm going to discuss this with you. So for these ulama, we recite one Fatiha and ask from their souls to help us, inshallah. Okay, if you go to page 7, page 7 is the preface or the foreword or what's called khutbah to shara. Khutbah is like preface, something that they mention before they start the book. Praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, sending salutation to the Prophet, mentioning the intention, something like this. So it's a kind of foreword or a kind of preface. It's by whom? Fazil Miqdad. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah alladhi دل على وجوب وجوده افتقار الممكنات. All praise is due to Allah, who is the one that poverty of contingent beings indicate the necessity of his existence. Okay? So, iftiqar al-mumkinat means poverty of contingent beings, possible beings, contingent beings. Dalla means shows, indicates wujudihi, necessity of his existence. This by itself is an argument. Now we are not discussing the argument, we'll discuss it later, but this is the way he's praising Allah, which shows the subject of the book. Okay? Is there any term that you don't know?
Iftar, I think, means...
Iftiqar means poverty. Mumkinat means contingent beings. Wujud means necessity. Wujud means existence. Okay? Dalla means shows, indicates. And dalil comes from the same.
Mumkinat?
Mumkinat means contingent beings. You remember we had cosmological argument for the existence of God. We will have it, inshallah, later. We will talk about this. This is just introduction, but he wants to refer to some of the discussions in the book. وَعَلَىٰ قُدْرَتِهِ وَعِلْمِهِ إِحْكَامُ الْمَصْنُوعَاتِ. Don't read أَحْكَام. Alhamdulillah, the book has إعراب. So it helps you a lot.
Yes, it does.
It's not ahkam, it's ihkam. وَعَلَىٰ قُدْرَتِهِ وَعِلْمِهِ means دَلَّ عَلَىٰ قُدْرَتِهِ وَعِلْمِهِ إِحْكَامُ الْمَصْنُوعَاتِ.
What's the difference?
مَصْنُوعَات means the created things, the things which are created, مَصْنُوعَات. So مُمْكِن means contingent, مَصْنُوع means created. What is the difference between mumkin and masnu?
Masnu is something which already exists.
Pardon?
Masnu is something which exists. Ah. But mumkin, it can be.
Every masnu is mumkin, definitely. Mm-hmm. Masnu created is mumkin, it's contingent. But mumkin might be created, might be not created. Yeah? Okay. So, ihkam. Ihkam means itqan. Itqan. Ihkam means fairness. Okay? Means they are done very well. The fact that the created things, the creatures, are done in a very firm and, you know, well-mannered, dalla, shows qudra, power, and ilm, knowledge of God. This is a Burhan al-Nazm, argument from Dizan. Because everything which is created is well organized, you know, all these three, you remember we had three versions of Burhan al-Nazm. About order, about having purpose, and internal also structure, those three aspects of Burhan al-Nazm. So, they indicate that God has knowledge and power. So you see, in one line he has proved the existence of God and knowledge of God and power of God and necessity of the being of God. Mm-hmm. Just in one line. Yeah. Al-Mutaali an Mushabahat al-Jismaniyat. He is high, transcendent. Muta'ali means transcendent, you know, he's too high so that the corporeal things, bodily things, cannot resemble him. Mushabahatil jismaniyat. Jismaniyat means those things which are corporeal, they have bodily existence. Can they resemble God? No, God is transcendent. God is too high for them to resemble him. You know, we say Bismihi Ta'ala. Mm-hmm. Ya Ta'ala means he's high, he's mm-hmm. transcendent. No one can resemble him.
Mm-hmm.
Mushabaha means resemblance. Mm-hmm. Shabahat, resemblance, similarity. Maybe it's a little bit difficult for you, I don't know, but don't worry. We are just starting, but inshallah, after some time, you see that how much you have made progress. There is English translation also for this, and the PDF is available. It's translated in the 18th century, early 20th century published. You will get the PDF. Maybe you have already got the PDF for English translation. But read it. It's good, useful, but I, inshallah, request you to master the Arabic.
Yes. PDF in the same name?
Yes. PDF is... Has it been circulated?
It has been printed.
They are going to print it for you. Okay. It has no copyright because for about 100 years ago. Okay. Are you here? Everyone is here? Okay. المتعالي عن مشابهة الجسمانيات. So, what does it mean?
There's no creation to resemble it.
It's very high to be
resembled. He's so high that bodily beings or corporeal beings cannot resemble him. المنزه بجلال قدسه عن مناسبة الناقصات. Because of the glory of his purity, he is not like imperfect beings. Naqisat. Naqis means something which has deficiency, imperfection. Yeah, naqis. You know naqis? Munasaba means resonance, resemblance. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because of his glory, is different from those imperfect mm-hmm. beings which are created. نَحْمَدُهُ حَمْدًا يَمْلَأُ أَغْطَارَ الْأَرْضِ وَالسَّمَاوَاتِ رَحْمَةُ اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ. What a beautiful sentence. He says, we praise him, a kind of praise that fills all over the world and the skies. Yeah? You know, we are little beings, but at least you can be ambitious. Yeah? When you are praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, say, I praise you, a kind of praise that fills the whole world. Be ambitious. وَنَشْكُرْهُ شُكْرًا عَلَىٰ نِعَمِهِ. And we thank him for his bounties, for his blessings. الْمُتَظَاهِرَاتِ الْمُتَوَاتِرَاتِ. The blessing and the bounties which are abundant and frequent. Before we manage to thank him for a blessing, other blessings have already come. You know, like a person who goes to a stadium, he doesn't know to say salam to whom. When he wants to say salam to this one, many people have already passed. So many blessings of Allah are around us that we cannot even say salam to these blessings and thank Allah for them. So it's better to acknowledge our lack of ability to thank.
Mutawatirat.
Al-mutawahirat. Tazahur. Do you remember in Dua Iftitah?
Yeah.
Tazahur al-zaman alayna. Tazahur means a kind of, you know, something which is when overcoming. But here means overwhelming, abundant. Mutawatir means frequent. Tawatir means frequency. So we thank him for his blessings, which are abundant and frequent. Do you know the difference between hamd and shukr? Yes.
Shukr is when you know, like you know what you're saying thank you for. And hamd is...
Shukr is with respect to ni'mah that you have received. Shukr is to thank. You know, like English, praise and thank are different. You can praise something without benefiting from it. I see a beautiful painting. I praise the painter. Yeah, but thanking means you have benefited from it. So, with respect to the ni'mah that we have received from Allah, we thank Him. But with respect to the beautiful creation that He has and all the beauties that He has, we praise Him. Okay? So, the spectrum for praise is higher or wider. Yeah? For example, we praise Him for creating stars. But many of those stars we are not benefiting from, perhaps. But still we praise Him. Yeah? وَنَسْتَعِينُهُ And we ask His help, His assistance. عَلَى دَفْعِ الْبَأْسَاءِ وَكَشْفِ الضَّرَّاءِ We ask Allah's help in daf'a. Do you know the difference between daf'a and raf'a?
You are taking...
Daf'a means to avert, isn't it?
Daf'a means not to let something to come. Like, you know, defender. Defa means not to let the enemy to come, for example. Daf. Raf means something has already come. We try to remove it. So if your home is occupied, you have to do raf. It's too late for daf. If the enemy has come and occupied your house, you have to do raf. But you should be in a position to do daf. Means before they come. Okay? So you see, Arabic is very, you know, precise language. Daf and raf. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for daf'il ba'sa. What does it mean? To prevent so that they don't come. Ba'sa means, you know, miseries, difficulties, calamities. Yeah. Miseries, you can say. وَكَشْفْ الزَّرَّى Kashf means openness. When there is calamity and you want to remove, it's like openness. You know, faraj is the same. Kashf and faraj means openness. Because it's as if when there is bala, everything is closed and dark. Yeah? You want openness. Kashf. Is it clear? Kashf al-dharra. We want the bad things to go away. So we ask basically for two things. For those balas which have not come, not to come, and for those difficulties which have come, to be removed. Fi jami' al-halat. Under all circumstances. You see, this is difference between Hawza and some other places for learning. Where you can get your book started with such beautiful munajat with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The big difference, the one who has written this and the one, you know, who writes books, you know, just to become famous or, you know, because to be paid money. Very much different. The atmosphere is full of light. So we have to be grateful to Allah for having such ulama. وَالصَّلَاةُ عَلَىٰ نَبِيِّهِ مُحَمَّدْ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَآلِهِ وَسَلَّمْ صَاحِبِ الْآيَاتِ وَالْبَيِّنَاتِ The one who had ayat, signs, miracles. Here signs means miracles, yeah? From God. والبينات, clear proofs. Yeah? Manifest, clear. المكمل بطريقته وشريعته سائر الكمالات. The one who perfected and completed with his religion, his tariqah, means his path, his religion, and his sharia, his code of law, he perfected other perfections. So it's not that before him there was no perfection or nothing, but he came to complete it. Okay? وَعَلَىٰ آلِهِ And we ask Allah to send salutation to the household of the Prophet. الهادين Those who guided. Guided with respect to what? مِنَ الشُّبَهِ وَالظَّلَالَاتِ They guided people so that people would not be misguided by shubahat. What is shubah? Shubah is the plural for shubha. Yeah? Shubha, fu'la becomes fu'al. Okay? Like luma'a becomes luma'a. Luqma becomes luqam. Okay? So, shubahat. What is shubahat? The things which are confusing. Because the difference between truth and falsehood is not very clear. So people get confused. This is the nature of shubha. Why it is called shubha? Because ishtabaha al-am means truth and falsehood become very much, you know, mixed. You cannot understand. This is shubha. وَالظَّلَالَات Misguidance. الَّذِينَ أَذْحَبَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمُ الرِّجْسِ Allah removed from them impurity. وَطَحَّرَهُمْ مِنَ الزَّلَّاتِ And purified them from mistakes or errors or
slip.
Yes, you know, like someone who is, for example, you know, falling down because of a slippery road or something. You know, zalla means we say in Farsi lagzish. Yeah, you fall down sometimes. It's mistake. Basically, it's mistake. Salatan tata'aqabu alayhim ka ta'aqub al-anat. We ask Allah to send salutations to Prophet and his family, a kind of salutation that would tata'aqabu alayhim, keep going to them, like moments of time. You know, time is not stopping. When this moment is finished, another moment comes. So we ask our salat to continue. Yeah, like we say to Imam Hussein, Abadan ma baqitu wa baqiya al-laylu wa al-nahar. You can ask Allah, because you know salawat is indeed our request from God to send salutations to them. Okay? If I was going to send salutation, I could send salutation as long as I am alive. Mm-hmm. But I am asking Allah, then I can ask Allah to send salutation even after I die. Abadan ma baqiyat means as long as I am alive. Ma baqiya al-laylu wa al-nahar means even after I die. Yes? So, ta'aqub means one coming after the other. Iqab means one after the other, no? So it's not stopping. Amma ba'd is the beginning of the main speech. So far is hamd and salat. Now when we say amma ba'd, means we want now to start. Means amma ba'd, means amma ba'd al hamd wa salat. You studied ba'd in
yes.
Arabic?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. This ba'd means ba'd al muzaf on ilayh is not mentioned, but it's clear. Question? Anat, an means moment. Anat means like moments of time, you know, when they go one after the other. Kho. Amma ba'd. Are you okay or you need break?
No.
It's okay.
It's okay.
Because I am full of energy, but I don't want to make you tired. I'm very excited. Amma ba'd. You know, it's big dream, you know, for me. One day, you know, sitting here and teach you, you know, sightseeing. Alhamdulillah. Inshallah, keep shaitan away from Jose. Amma ba'd. فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى لَمْ يَخْلُقِ الْعَالَمَ عَبَثًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not created the world in vain. Okay? He has purpose. This is the issue of wisdom of God. So, He has not created the world in vain. فَيَكُونَ مِنَ اللَّاعِبِينَ, so that he would be one of those who play. He's not la'ib. Yeah? Many times in the Quran says that this is not la'ib. This is not game. This is not playing. So, he has not created the world in vain without purpose, so that he becomes one of the la'ibin. La'ib, you know la'ib. Yeah? Today in Arabic, they say, for example, Al-la'ibin bi kurat al-qadam, for the footballist. La'ib means the one who play. So those who play football, they say Al-la'ibin bi kurat al-qadam. Or for a stadium, they say mal'ab. Yeah, mal'ab. It means play, game. But Allah is not the one who is playing with this world. Bal lighayatin وَحِكْمَةٍ. He has created this world for an end. غَايَة means end, purpose. حِكْمَةٍ, there is wisdom behind this world.
غَايَة means end.
غَايَة means end, yes. غَايَة.
That means end.
Yes. حِكْمَةٍ means wisdom. مُتَحَقِّقَةٍ لِلنَّاظِرِينَ. Those who look at the world carefully. Nazar is different from ru'ya. Please remember this. Nazar is different from ru'ya. Ru'ya means to look. Nazar means to look deeply and carefully. Allah says, أَفَلَا يَنْظُرُونَ إِلَى الْإِبْلِ. Doesn't say, أَفَلَا يَرَوْنَ الْإِبْلِ. Yeah? أَفَلَا يَنْظُرُونَ. Nazar means to look at things carefully. Okay? So, those who look at the creation and the world carefully, nazirin, for them, this ghaya and hikmah is proved, is obvious, mutahakkaqah, is established. وَقَدْ نَسَّ عَلَىٰ تِلْكَ الْغَايَةِ. Allah Himself has expressly mentioned that end. بالتعيين. بالتعيين, what does it mean? Specifically. Yes? You know, like واجب التعييني. Pardon? Yes. Means it's specifically pointed out.
Specifically pointed out.
Yes. فقال. What did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say? أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم وما خلقت الجن والإنس إلا ليعبدون. I have not created jinns nor ants, human beings, except to serve me. Okay? So he has mentioned that end, the ghaya is to serve him. Of course, we have a hierarchy of ends and ghayat, you know? So to serve him is in order to become better. We have knowing of God, we have serving God, you know, we have qurba to God. There are levels, different levels of ghayat. فَوَجَبَ عَلَى كُلِّ مَنْ هُوَ فِي زُمْرَةِ الْعَاقِلِينَ إِجَابَةُ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. So it's compulsory for everyone who is counted as aqil, everyone who is in the circle. Zumra means what? Zumra, you know, Surah Zumra, group, circle. Okay? So whoever is one of the aqilin, one of the intelligent people, he must respond to the world, the Lord of the worlds. Ijaba means to respond. Rabbil Alameen, the Lord of the worlds. Still, we are not studying Kalam, you know, so we'll talk about it. But this is not the beginning of the book. He wants to say why, you know, it's important to study Kalam. Okay, Allah has created us to serve Him, so we must respond. How can you serve God? The only way to be able to serve God is to know Him. Without knowing someone, how can you serve him? Ma'rifa is needed. Yeah? Can you serve someone without knowing him? No. وَلَمَّا كَانَ ذَٰلِكَ مُتَعَذِّرًا بِدُونَ مَعْرِفَتِهِ بِالْيَقِينَ. And because Zalika is Ismul Ishara, refers to what?
Yes.
To serving God, to Ya'budun, to responding to God's call. That is Muta'adhir. One of the things also is good to learn, many times in Hawza text we have this, Muta'adhir and Muta'assir. Muta'adhir means impossible. Muta'assir means difficult. Muta'adhir and Muta'assir. These are terms that many times we use. Maybe some of you should, you know, actually put a glossary, make a glossary of these Hawzawi terms. Gradually, you know, in Usul, Aqad, you know, these texts, maybe you can make a glossary. It becomes a good thing for future. So, like, you know, daf and raf.
What is mutaassir, please?
Mutaassir comes from usr, means difficult. Sin. Mutaassir. Mutaassir means impossible. Many times in the text, these two come. Okay. So, since this serving, this respond to God's call for serving Him is impossible without knowing Him with certainty, بدون معرفته باليقين. وجب على كل عارف مكلف تنبيه الغافلين وإرشاد الضالين. So, because that wajib, that duty, which is serving God, is not possible without knowing God with certainty, what is the responsibility of ulama? To help the people who don't have that ma'rifah to get it. Okay? Wajaba ala kulli arifin. It's necessary for every arif. Arif here doesn't mean mystic. Arif here means the one who has ma'rifah. Alim. The one who has ma'rifah, he should help those who don't have ma'rifah to get ma'rifah. وجب على كل عارف مكلف. If that عارف is not بالغ, so he's not مكلف. If he is not, for example, I don't know, conscious, he is not مكلف. But if he's in the condition of تكليف, so he has عقل and بلوغ and قدرت, because these are the conditions of تكليف, then it's واجب for him. If he's not able, then that's another issue. But if he has conditions of taklif, it's obligatory for such person to do what? Tanbihul ghafilin. What does tanbih mean?
Warn. To warn. Guide.
Get the attention.
Tanbih comes from nubaha, intibah, means alertness. Tanbi, to make someone alert, like warning. To make someone alert. But
to get their attention.
You know, ghafil is heedless. What do you do with someone who is heedless?
Alert.
You try to awaken him, you try to make him alert. Yeah, tanbihul. In Farsi nowadays, when we say tanbih, means to punish or to discipline. Tanbih. But in Arabic, tanbih means to make someone alert. Okay? So, it's wajib to do tanbihul ghafilin. You must make those who are ghafil alert. Because, you know, ghafil, these are very accurate. Ghafil doesn't need to be taught. Jahil has to be taught. Ghafil has to be just warned. Yes? There's a difference. Tanbihul ghafilin. He's heedless, so you just need to awake or warning. وَإِرْشَادُ الظَّالِينَ. And those who are misguided, you need to irshad, means to bring them to the right path, to educate them, to guide them. Irshad. How do you do this? If there is a scholar, there is alim, and he wants to awaken those who are heedless and wants to guide those who are misguided, how can he do this? بتقرير مقدمات. He must prepare and write introductory books and texts that people can read and learn. He wants to say why, you know, Allama Hilli has written this book. بتقرير مقدمات ذوات إفهام. أفهام is one. إفهام. إفهام وتبيين. He must do, you know, تقرير means to compile, to report. He must write something that would be involving understanding, explanation. Ifham is to make someone understand. Tabyin means to explain. So he must write something to explain for people the situation, the truth. فَمِن تِلْكَ الْمُقَدِّمَاتِ. One of those introductory text, one of those introductions to Aqidah, is al-muqaddamatul mawsumatu bil bab al-hadi ashar. One of the texts which has been written for this purpose is the 11th section. Bab means gate, door, but here means section, yeah? The 11th section, Mentasanif, which is one of the works compiled by Sheikhna, our Sheikh. Sheikh, what does Sheikh mean? Master. Yeah, Sheikh means master, teacher, Sheikh. Wa Imamina, our leader. Al-Imam al-Alim al-A'lam, the one who was knowledgeable and most knowledgeable. Al-Afdal, not only he was more knowledgeable, he was also more virtuous. Al-Akmal, more perfect than anyone else, most perfect. Sultan Arbab al-Tahqiq, he was the king of the people who did tahqiq. Tahqiq nowadays means research. Mm-hmm. But I think tahqiq in those days was more than research. Tahqiq means reaching the truth. Muhaqqiq. Muhaqqiq means someone who was able to reach the truth and establish the truth. So he was the king for the people who were scholars. Ustadi ul tanqih wa tadqiq, he was the teacher of those who have tanqih and tadqih. Tadqih means the people who are able to do tanqih, to make things very clear, very organized. And tadqih means to be very precise. So those who are endowed with these qualities of tanqih and tadqiq, he was their teacher. Okay? He doesn't say he was able to do this. It's more than that. He says those who had these qualities, he was their teacher.
Ustad
means teacher. Ustad means teacher, yes. Muqarrir al-mabahith al-aqliyah. He was the one who was able to do taqrir. Taqrir means relay. To relay. You know, for example, we have taqrirat of the lectures of Imam Khomeini. Mm-hmm. For example, we have Tahzib al-Usul. Ayatollah Subhani has done the taqrirat of Imam Khomeini. Mm-hmm. So we have Ajwad al-Taqrirat, which Ayatollah Khui did taqrirat of Usul of Sheikh Naini. Mm-hmm. Taqrirat means you relay, you give a report of something. So he says Allama Hilli was the one who was able to relay intellectual sciences and discussions. This is about aqliyat. What about shar'iyat? Muhadhib al-dala'il al-shar'iyyah. He was also the one who was doing tahdhib. Tahdhib means to purify, to leave aside, you know, those things which are not necessary and reach the core of something. What is good term in English for tahdhib? Tahdhib. You know, when you leave aside all the unnecessary things and reach the core.
That's purifying.
Like refine. Maybe refine is a good term. He was... Pardon?
Go straight to
yes. Subject. Yeah, but as a science, you know, so you refine. For example, Mahajjatul Bayza by Faiz Kashani is called Mahajjatul Bayza fi tahdhib al ihya. So Ihya ul-Ulum is by Ghazali, but Faiz Kashani summarized, so those things which were not necessary, he left it aside, he corrected a few things, he added something, so this is called tahdhib. So tahdhib means those things which are not necessary, you leave them aside. Is it clear? Muhadhab is the conclusion, the result. So with respect to intellectual discussions, he was able to relate very well. With respect to dala'il al-shar'iyya, religious resources, he was able to do tahdhib, go to the refine and discussion, go to the core. Ayatullah fil alameen. You know, maybe the first person, first scholar who was called Ayatullah was Allama Hilli. His title was Ayatullah. Ayatullah fil alameen. Warith ulum al anbiya wal mursaleen. He was the one who inherited the knowledge of prophets and messengers. Jamal al-millat wad-deen. He was the beauty for community, for Muslim nation, and for religion. Abi Mansur al-Hasan ibn Yusuf ibn Ali ibn al-Mutahhar al-Hilli. قَدَّسَ اللَّهُ رُوحَهُ. May Allah purify his soul. وَنَظَّرَ ضَرِيحَهُ. And enlighten his grave. You know, he's buried in the shrine of Imam Ali.
Yes.
فَإِنَّهَا. Ha refers to what? No. Ha refers to the muqaddama that is written by Allama Hilli. فَإِنَّهَا. Says what? We said, you know, one of these muqaddamat which is written is the muqaddama which is written by Allama Hilli. Now we go back to that discussion. فَإِنَّهَا. That muqaddama, that introduction that is written by Allama Hilli, مَعَ وَجَازَةِ لَفْضِحَا. Although it's very brief. Mujaz. Mujaz means what? Very brief. He's very brief in his explanation.
Wajaza
means mujaz, wajiz, mujaz, ijaz. Have you heard? Means brief. Ma'a wajazat al-lafdha kathirat al-ilm. Is full of knowledge. Wa ma'a ikhtisar taqriraha. Although his explanation is very brief, but is kabiratul ghunm. Ghunm, what does ghunm mean? Have you heard ghanima? Ghanima, wa'alamu annama ghanimtum min shay fa inna lillahi khumusahu. Ghanima means what you gain. Ghunm means what you gain. So, although it's brief, but you gain a lot. You gain a lot. Okay? Ghunm. What is opposite to ghunm? Those who are making Bashra. The glossary. Another Bashra. Term to write.
Bashra.
Opposite to ghunm is ghurm. With ghain. Ghunm and ghurm. Ghurm is gharam. So we have this rule. Man lahul ghunm fa'alayhi al-ghurm. The one who benefits, he also has to pay for it. Man alayhi al-ghurm, falahu al-ghurm. Okay?
Ghain rami.
Ghain rami, from gharama. Gharama means penalty. Today, you know, in Arabic, you know, we say gharama, you know.
Fine.
Yes. Okay, so write down. Ghurm and ghurm. Okay? وَكَانَ قَدْ سَلَفَ مِنِّي فِي سَالِفِ الزَّمَانِ. He says, it had occurred to me in the past an أَكْتُبَ شَيْئًا, to write something. Fazil al-Miqdad says, you know, I had this intention in the past to write شَيْئًا, something. يُعِينُ عَلَى حَلِّهَا. Something that would help in حلها, to open this muqaddimah, this little text, brief text of Allama, he had the intention of writing a commentary that can unfold and open. بتقرير الدلائل والبرهان, by relaying, means rewriting, explaining the arguments and, you know, burhan means the demonstrations. Ijabatan liltimas ba'd al-ikhwan. Why I had that intention? To respond to the request of some brothers. So some brothers had asked him, mu'min brothers, yeah? Some mu'min brothers had asked Fazil al-Miqdad, could you please write a commentary on Muqaddama, which is Baba Hadi Ash, for us, so that we can understand? But he says, I was not able to do this job. ثُمَّ آغَنِي آغَتْنِي أَنْ إِتْمَامِهِ عَوَائِقُ الْحَدَثَانِ. But it blocked me. آغَتْنِي means I was not able to finish. So he started, but he says, I was not able to finish. What he says was the reason? عَوَائِق. عَوَائِق means those things that blocks you. Awa'id. Yeah?
Like.
So he says there were barriers, which are barriers of hadathan. Events, incidents. Things happened, incidents happened that didn't let me to finish the job. وَمُصَادَمَاتُ الدَّحْرِ. The accidents, musadama, things that happen, unexpectedly during the life, at dahr. Dahr means time. Ruzagar, we say in Farsi, dahr. What do you say in Urdu? Ruzagar, you say? Yes. Dahr, ruzagar, time, age. Al-khawan, which betrays. Ruzagar, is sometimes not helping you. Of course, it's not that there's a problem with the wall. It means that many issues happen that you would not be able to reach your aim. إِذْ كَانَ صَادًا لِلْمَرْءِ أَنْ بُلُوغِ إِرَادَتِهِ. Ruzagar or dahr or time or age was saddan. Saddan, what does it mean? Yasuddu an sabilillah, sadda an sabilillah, yasuddu, sadda, yasuddu, with sad. Not with sin. With sad means to block. Yeah? Alladina yasuddun an sabilillah. Saddan means block. Blocks the man from reaching his irada, his will. You want to do something. You want to do mubahasa every day, but Ruzagar doesn't let you. So at least every other day. Otherwise, you will never get the chance. So, be aware of the difficulties of Ruzagar. وَحَائِلًا بَيْنَهُ وَبَيْنَ طَلِبَتِهِ. This dahr becomes a ha'il. Ha'il is again like a'ir, like sar. From Haylula. أن الله يحول بين المرء وقلبه. حال يحول حيلولا حائل. Okay? Now you understand why we study Sarf. It's not that we want to waste our life. We need all these things. So, حائل means barrier, something that blocks. حائلا بينه وبين طلبته. This life stands between you and your purpose, your desires, your aims, your ambition. Okay? Taliba means what you want. But Alhamdulillah, he managed to find an opportunity to finish. ثُمَّ اتَّفَقَ الْإِجْتِمَاعُ. والمذاكرة في بعض الأسفار. Then in some of my journeys it happened that I had ijtema, means we had a group, and we had muzakara, means discussion. Even, you know, with discussion he managed to finish this. And imagine, you know, our ulama, they were doing so much work that in these their journeys they were writing. You know? They were not going, you know, just for holidays. They were writing the things that they were not able to finish at home because of commitments they were doing when they were traveling. So, مَعَ تَرَاكُمِ الْأَشْغَالِ. Although there was, you know, there were lots of ashghal. Ashghal is plural for shogl. Means lots of works. Yeah? I had lots of works. وَتَشْوِيشِ الْأَفْكَارِ. My thoughts were, you know, distracted. You know, they were living maybe in the time of, I think, Mongols, because Allama was in time of Mongols. Maybe he was in the time of Mongols. They had lots of difficulties. They were not living in a comfortable time. فَالْتَمَسَ مِنِّي. Then, one of the Sadat, one of the Sayyids, one of the progeny of the Prophet, who was a great man, or, you know, very special Sayyid, بعض السادات الأجلاء, some of the great Sayyids. بعض mean, you know, in Arabic can mean one or two or three, you know, بعض we don't know, it's one or it's more than one. So one Sayyid asked me, أن أعيد النظر, to review, means he had already made some notes, you know, he had started this work, but was not completed. So he asked me to go back to your writings. وَتَذَكُّرْ لِمَا كُنْتُ قَدْ كَتَبْتُ أَوَّلًا. To review it. تَذَكُّرْ means to remember, to review what I had written before. وَالْمُرَاجَعَ إِلَى مَا كُنْتُ قَدْ جَمَعْتُ. And those things that I had collected, some maybe references, some, you know, I don't know, information, data he had collected. So he asked me to do muraja'ah, to check them and go back to them. فَأَجَبْتُ مُلْتَمَسَهُ. So I accepted his request. Who knows what is multamas in Sarf? Multamas is ism maf'ul, but also can be master. Because in Sulasi Mujarrad, master also comes like ism maf'ul. So multamas can mean iltimas, and can mean what he asked. إِذْ قَدْ أَوْجَبَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى عَلَيَّ إِجَابَتَهُ. Says, because Allah had made it obligatory for me to respond to what this Sayyid, I don't know who was that Sayyid and what position he had, that he says it was wajib for me to listen. Okay? هذا مع قلة البضاعة. This is despite the fact that my bidha'a means your good. Good. But the good that you take, you know, to buy something. You know the story of Prophet Yusuf. Ya ayyuhal aziz, qad massana wa ahlana dhur, wa ji'na bi bidha'atin muzjah, fa awfi lana al-kayl wa tasaddaq alayna. Bidha'a is the good that a tradesman, for example, takes to give and buy something. Okay? But here we mean by bida'ah means my capacity, my, which means my knowledge. Means my bazaar is little, means my hand is empty. I don't have that much knowledge and expertise. Okay? وَكَثْرَةَ الشَّوَاغِلِ And lots of شَوَاغِل. شَوَاغِل means what makes you busy. يَشْقُلْ الْمُنَافِيَةِ لِلْإِسْتِطَاعِ Which would not let me to be مُسْتَطِيل, to be able to finish. وَهَا أَنَا أَشْرَعُ فِي ذَلِكِ Despite all the problems, now I start. So he wrote this before finishing the book. Nowadays, sometimes we finish the book, then we write the introduction. But he wrote this before writing the book. He says, now I start مُسْتَمِدًا مِنَ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى Asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give me help. مُسْتَمِدًا means to ask for madad. Madad means help. Yeah? مُسْتَمِدًا means to ask for help. مستمدا من الله تعالى المعونة علي to help me against this means to help me to finish this متقربا به إلي I seek nearness to Allah with this so I want to do this in order to become nearer to Allah وسميته I called it النافع يوم الحشر في شرح الباب الحادي عشر. النافع. النافع is the one that benefits. This is the title of the book, the commentary. What benefits on the day of resurrection? Which is the commentary on the باب الحادي عشر. وما توفيق إلا بالله عليه توكلت وإليه أنيب. My توفيق is not except from Allah. I trust Him and to Him I return. So, this is the introduction by Fazil Miqdad. Inshallah, from next week we start the Bab al-Hadi Ashar and the commentary. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alamin.